Wonderful singing, beautiful music. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Psalm 118. A couple of announcements that I failed to make earlier, totally forgot about. First of all, we have a short, and I mean short business meeting this morning right after our morning worship. So, church members, we ask you to stick around for that business meeting afterwards. Also, due to the holidays, of course, Thanksgiving being Thursday, midweek activities will cease this week, so you can be with your families and travel and what have you. And I know we have several families that are already on the road, and because the kids have this week out in school and all. So anyway, I want to remind you of those two things. Psalm 118, take a little break from our series today. There was an atheist, an evolutionist, an atheist who was out just in the woods one day and was looking at all nature and the trees and the flowers and the rivers and the brooks and the streams and what have you, and observing the animals and the critters and just looking at nature. And all of a sudden, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. And he turned around, and a 7-foot grizzly bear on his back legs was just standing up, rah, you know, over him. And of course, he's scared to death. So what does he do? He runs. Of course, yes, that's what I want to happen. I want the bear to chase me, because we all know that we can outrun bears, right? No, not if you've ever had to chase had one chasing after you before. Huffing and puffing, screaming and crying, running through the woods. Little by little, that bear is catching up with him. Step by step, he's getting closer and closer. And finally, he stumbled. He fell over a log. He fell to the ground. And he just looked up to the heaven, and this evolutionist, this atheist, says, "Oh, God, help me." All of a sudden, a bright light kind of shone through the trees, and everything stopped. The wind stopped blowing. The river stopped flowing. The bumblebees, they were just kind of there to stand still. You know, everything just stopped. The birds that were in the air, they were just stuck in the air. Everything just stopped and just got quiet and peaceful for a moment. And that's when this voice spoke. And this voice said, "Sir, do you really believe that after all of these years of denying me, denying my very existence, denying that you believe that the universe was created by a creator, teaching people that it happened just by accident, by this huge explosion, do you really think that since you believe that I do not exist, that I'm going to come and help you now?" The man looking at the light and said, "You know what? You're right. You're exactly right. My track record is bad. Saying all this makes me the biggest hypocrite in the world. Even though you can't do anything to help me, could you at least turn that bear into a Christian? If you did that, things would turn out differently, I'm quite sure." The voice answered and said, "As you request." All of a sudden, the rivers began flowing. The wind began blowing, the bumblebees started flapping their wings, and the birds are flying through the air. The trees continued to rustle, and that big grizzly bear that was 7 feet tall was on his back paws, ready to attack with both of his front paws in the air, ready to swipe. Suddenly, put his hands together and said, "Oh God, thank you for this fine meal that you have provided for me today." Thankfulness. Praise. We forget it so often. You look in the dictionary under complaining, you will see a picture of David Lee West right beside that definition of that word. We're complainers, aren't we? We don't like things. We don't like it when things don't go our way. We whine, we complain. I wish if we had, I don't know if God has this little scale up there between a praise-a-meter and a gripe-a-meter. I don't know if he's got scales or whatever, but I wonder how much we complain and gripe about things versus how much we say, "Thank you and praise God," you know? And I would hope that we would praise so very much more. Well, in our message today, we're going to see that in this psalm of praise, Psalm 118. If you would please stand with me out of respect to God's word. We're not going to read the entire psalm right now. We'll get through the whole thing later. But I at least want to read to you the first four verses and then verse 29. Psalm 118, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. And in verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Father, we pray Your blessing on the reading and the teaching and the proclamation of the Word of God this morning. Spirit of God, speak to us, work within us. Lord, may we leave this place determined to spend time in praise and thanksgiving before the One who has created us, before the One that has saved us. We love You. Bless Your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is a Psalm of David. And David often, through the psalm, speaks directly of himself. But you'll find as we read through the psalm later on that there's also a prophetic message to it. In fact, it's considered a messianic psalm in that it refers to many things that Jesus went through. So as David is writing about his own life and his own journeys and his own travels, he's also speaking prophetically about the Lord Jesus and some things that happened in his life. And David has written this psalm after he's been on the run. He's been rejected by his friends. He's been hated and hunted by his enemies. He had been hunted and hated by King Saul, the king previous to him. His own son Absalom, David's own son, tried to kill him, among many others. And more than likely, David wrote this psalm after these events took place in his life. He's patiently waiting on God's timing to eventually take his rightful place on the throne of Israel. And eventually, that's exactly what happens. And so what happens here is David's going to the temple, and he's going to express thanksgiving. He's going to express gratitude. He's going to express simply expressing, God, thanks. This is how You've helped me. This is how You've blessed me. Your mercy endures forever. Now, you saw the word mercy in there. I know the word mercy there is translated many different ways. The Hebrew word is chesed, which actually is the Hebrew word for grace. And when you think about God's grace, remember, grace is unmerited favor, right? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve, right? Okay? You think of all the things that you got that we don't deserve. The very fact that we live in this free country, we don't deserve that, you know, but nonetheless, God has given us that grace. And in your Bibles, depending on the different translations you might have, for instance, the New King James here translates it mercy, NIV translates it love, the New American Standard translates it loving kindness, the Holman says faithful love, the English Standard Version says your steadfast love. All of these things, God's goodness, God's kindness, God's love, they all fall under the umbrella of chesed, grace. I give you what you don't deserve, my love, my goodness, my kindness. And David is acknowledging that in this passage. All these terms fall under that umbrella. And this entire psalm, if you'll notice, and I hope you'll, if you mark in your Bibles, the very first verse and the very last verse are the same thing. Did you see that? In other words, you got a sandwich there, don't you? It begins with, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. And how does it end? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. So we got two bookends here. On the in the middle, there's the message that David is trying to proclaim. You know, when we praise God and when we thank God, it's normally for the things that, the physical stuff you have, right? Right? God, I thank You for my house. God, I thank You for my cars. God, I thank You for my job. I thank You for my money. I thank You for my children. I thank You for my spouse. I thank You for meeting this need. I thank You for Your the health. I thank You for the healing. I thank You. And we should praise God for those things. Amen? But so often we don't praise God for the things that are really, really important, and that is for the spiritual things, the supernatural things, the things that last for eternity. And that's why he says, Your mercy endures forever. We got to be cognizant of that very fact. We should praise God for the spiritual, for the supernatural. In this passage, no less than 10 times does David refer to either eternity, everlasting, or what will happen when we are finally in the presence of God, which takes place in, when? Eternity, right? So today what I wanted to do is I want to share with you six particulars of praise, six particulars of thanksgiving. What should praise and thanksgiving look like as we look at this passage here this morning? Number one, I want you to see the participants of praise. Look at verse number 1 through 4. We've already read them. But in verse number 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. In grammar, we look at that, and that's what's called as an understood you. You give thanks to the Lord. Praise God. Even though he's giving thanks to the Lord, he's imploring upon us, you give thanks to the Lord. Everybody say you. Everybody say me. Yeah, give thanks to the Lord. You, me, all of us. David here, he's making a statement of we should be doing this. Verse 2, it says that the nation of Israel, let Israel now say his mercy endures forever. Israel, obviously, the nation, God's chosen people. So he may be speaking here of nationally, we should be praising God and thanking God. Well, that's something we could use in our nation, amen. We keep talking about how we're the greatest nation on the earth, and I do believe that we are. But why are we the greatest nation on earth? Only one reason, God. That's the only reason. You know, we miss that. It's the Lord's that's blessed this nation that we live in. We thank God for that. But at the same time, just not the nation of Israel, but the nation of Israel present, but also the nation of Israel past. The forefathers, what they stood for, what they had done, their lives portray a picture of praise. And it causes me to ask the question of my own self, does my life portray a picture of praise? Does my life portray a picture of thanksgiving? How about you? I mean, when we're dead and gone, what will your life say about you? Is it a life of praise to God, glory to God, thanks to God? Verse number 3, other participants of praise is the house of Aaron. What's the house of Aaron? Well, these were the priests. These are the ones that were specially set aside by God to do God's work. Let me remind you, if you're saved, guess what you are? You are a priest of the Most High God. So he says, you, those people who belong to God, the nation of Israel, which we do through salvation in Jesus Christ. 3, the priests of God, those that have been set apart for the service of God. And if you're a believer, trust me, you've been set apart for the service of God. And number 4, he said, and all those who fear the Lord. David's not leaving anything to random here. He's saying, you, people of God, the priests of God, those of you who fear the Lord, all of you, praise God. Praise God. His mercy endures forever. That's who. What we should do is praise. What about when? Did you notice in 3 of these verses? There's little 3-letter words. Y'all notice it in there? It says it over and over again. 3 times. Now. Now. When is now? Now is a present tense word, right? So what does that tell you? What about 5 minutes from now? Let's fast forward. 5 minutes from now. 5 minutes from now. We're 5 minutes from now. Guess what? We should praise the Lord. Now. What about 5 minutes after that? Now. You catch it? In other words, your life should be a life of praise to God. And it's for all believers. We praise the Lord through the way we work. We praise the Lord through the way we treat our family members. We praise the Lord through the way we worship. We praise the Lord through the way we do our devotions. We praise the Lord. We are to be participants of praise. If you went backwards in your scripture here a little bit, Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Psalmist here, David, he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify, that means make large, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's why we're here. To make Jesus known, to magnify him, to praise him, to honor him. We do that with our sports teams. Man, your sports team wins a championship. Man, we go all out, don't we? Get the t-shirts. Buy the hats, right? Right? Yeah? We get the flags fluttering on the car. Sometimes my children are like, what is that sound? It's my flags, man. It's my flags. Can't hear them a whole lot when you're in town, but man, when you get on the interstate, they're pounding up against that car. We make them known. We make those things known. Why in the world we should not make God known through our praise for him? Amen? We praise our teams. We praise our favorite athletes. We praise our favorite artists, our favorite whoever in Hollywood. Why not praise Jesus and make him known? What do you think? Amen? Yeah. We're the participants of praise. Secondly, there's protection in my praise. Protection in my praise. Verse 5, back in Psalm 118. I called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side, underline that. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me, underline that, among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. What David's declaring here is my protection is in God. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. Verse 7, the Lord is for me. Verse 8 and 9, it is better to trust in who? The Lord. I like, if you go and circle the word in verse number 5, the word distress. The word distress means to be constricted or restricted to a really small area. Has you ever been in a position where you're somewhere and it's like you're enclosed everywhere? Anybody in here claustrophobic? Anybody? A couple of you? Yeah. That's not fun. You don't like that, do you? You know? You get in one of those, and it's and like when you're on a roller coaster, you know? And they lock you in, and it's they got you in tight, don't they? They got you in tight. Why? They don't want you falling out, right? That's what that word distress means. David is saying, man, I was locked in. Everywhere I turned, there was opposition. There was hatred. They were trying to kill me. But look what it says after that. He says, verse 5, the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. You know what that is? That's a reference to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, you make me lie down in green pastures. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? You put me in a broad place. You see? Why? Because he's our protector. Praising God for his protection. Folks, listen. God is for me. Everybody say, God is for me. He is. He's on your side. God is for us. Psalm 139 and verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. God goes before me. Is present behind me, and he never leaves us alone. He's our protection. When we had moved to North Carolina, we got to live in a house that was out and away from everything. It wasn't in the city. And it was a nice little subdivision, but in the back of our house, you just look out there, and all you see is woods. You see a big field where a guy grew different crops back there, and then you just saw woods everywhere. Now, as a dad, when they're... You know, they're fairly young. They're still in middle school, early middle school. And as a dad, I'm not just going to let them run out there and just, hey, man, there's the woods. Go. No, I'm going to check it out with them first, right? I'm going to go out there with them as a dad. And you know, when you take your kids through the woods and stuff like that, and you come across a branch, and you want to hold the branch back because you don't want it to do what to them? Smack them in the face, right? Although there were a few times where you might want to do that. But anyway, that's beside the point. Or you say, you know, watch out for that hole right there. Or there's a snake hole right there. Be careful. Or you know what? Here's the ravine down here, and there's a stream at the bottom of the ravine. And you start to find different areas, the best way to get down to that area, you know? And as a dad, I would walk through that with them and watch out for the pitfalls that may take them. All right? That's what God does for us. When we praise God, we learn that as we go through our days, how God protects us in so many different ways. Have you ever griped about, and this is me, I've done this, you griped about, come on, we got to go, we are late. My family knows I hate being late. I cannot stand it. Thank you for putting the timer up there, the countdown, 5 minute down, because I like that. I like starting on time, and when I'm late, man, it gets me so, I mean, side note here, I love you, brothers and sisters, but don't say, hey, Pastor West, I got a question with 30 seconds left. Don't do that, all right? That's just sense. Because I'm going to, I got to go because guys got to get me mic'd up back there. Anyway, back to the message. God is our protector. You ever been in one of those places where you are late getting out the door and you're kind of aggravated about that, but then you drive down the road and you see an accident that just took place?
and you, if you had left out of the house when you wanted to, you very easily could have been caught up in that. You ever been there? Yeah, I have too. Why does God, you know, cause the kids to drag their feet? I don't know. I do know this. God is sovereign, amen? And he's in control. And he's going to take care of his people. Well, what if tragedy strikes? God has purpose in tragedy. It may not be that he's specifically protecting you in this more than he might be protecting somebody else, because he wants, maybe his desire is that something take place in your life so that other people be drawn closer to him. And he's protecting them as well, you see. But there's protection in our praise. All the different things that we think about that happen in life. Turn with me, go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. Joshua 1. Right after Judges. Excuse me, right before Judges. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. Well, I'm getting there. Joshua 1, 5. The Lord speaking here says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Remember, Joshua was about to lead the people into the promised land. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this his people you shall divide as an inheritance the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to the law, to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God, thank you for being with us. Amen? Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for those moments that we don't have any idea about, but God's hand of providence stepped in and said, no, no, you're not going to do that to my child. Oh, there are so many of those that we probably could all testify about where it could have been bad or it could have been worse, but we know that the Lord was protecting us. Number three, he is the provider of my praise. Verse 10, back to Psalm 118. He is the provider of my praise. All the nations, now think about this, David is speaking, but this is also prophetic here of when Jesus was about to go to the cross. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He has become my provider. In the name of the Lord, but in the name of the Lord, verse 11 and in verse 12. For in the name of the Lord, verse 13, but in the name of the Lord, and the Lord help me, verse 13. The Lord is my strength. He is the provider. He is my salvation. He is my strength. He is my song. Seven times in these verses right here, he says, he provokes the name of God, or invokes the name of God. Why? Because God is his provider of his praise. You are the one. I think it's interesting here. He says four times he's surrounded, but yet three times he says, I'll destroy them. But watch this now. You'll miss this if you don't read it carefully and slowly. Each time he says, I'm surrounded, but I'll get the victory. I'll destroy them. What's in the middle of all that? What is in the middle of each one of those phrases? In the name of the Lord. In other words, while everything was going on around him, and in the end, he got the victory, in the midst of it, in the middle of it, who's there? God. Why? Because he's my protector. He's my provider. He's the one who provides strength. He's the one who provides the encouragement. He's the one who provides the protection and everything that we need. And even when they're like bees, you ever been, maybe not all of us, but some of you, and I know I've been this way, been in a little swarm of bees or wasps or hornets? Yeah? You ever hit one of those, you know? Out here, in some of these bushes out here, sometimes they get kind of long, and I get out there, and I'm okay, I'm going to trim some of these back and everything. But what I don't know is that on some of these leaves, and you don't see it, there's a nest. And it's amazing how small these things are, but how painful they are. Amen? You know? And I'm out there, and I'm clipping this, and I'm clipping that, and all of a sudden, I get to one, and I clip it, and all of a sudden, you just, yeah? And in the meantime, one of y'all drive down Windhorst, amen, and I'm in front of the church going, you know, and I'm running all over the place like a crazy man. Why? Because the bees are surrounding me. They're all over the place. And that's the way David was saying. Man, they're everywhere. They all want to sting me to death. They all want to kill me. But the Lord was right there with me. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? Did we throw three of them in there? Yes, sir, we did. Wait a minute. One, two, three, four. Are you sure we threw three in there? Yes, sir. One, two, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three. One, two, three, four. By the way, the fourth one, he looks like what? Son of God. Why? He was in the midst of it with him. He was in the midst of it with him. And they weren't touched by the flames. Why? He's the provider of my praise. Folks, listen. In your lives, acknowledge God in your praise. Acknowledge God in your praise. Take time to praise God. I have here with me, this is my prayer book. It's about half used up. I write down prayer requests in here. You can see as they get answered, I highlight stuff. You can see that from there. And in my prayer book here in the very front, I have up here, whenever I'm reading scripture, just names I come across, names of God. I did not know this. They say that there are over 950 names of God. 950. Good night. I got a long way to go. Amen. But sometimes when I'm in my prayer time, I just call God out and acknowledge him. You are the Lamb of God. You are my sustainer, my creator. Mighty God, High Priest, Savior, Lord, Everlasting Father. You're my healer. You're the Rose of Sharon. You're the Darling of Heaven. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the Great I Am. You are the Treasure of Heaven. You are the Groom. You are the Servant, the Great High Priest, the Lord of Life, the Justifier, the Redeemer, the Resurrection and the Life, the Way, the Truth and the Life. You're my Mediator. You're my Father. You're my Blessed Hope. You're my Friend. You're my Good Shepherd, my Chief Cornerstone that the builders rejected. You're my Peace. You're my Hope. You're my Everlasting Covenant. You are my Sin Bearer. You're my Reconciler. You're my Renewer. You're my Pearl of Great Price. You're my Cleanser. You're my Anointed One. And I could go on and on. Take time to praise God. Acknowledge him directly for who he is. In this particular instance, he's the provider. He took care of David. Number four, the fourth particular of praise is power. Power in my praise. Verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord, underline that, does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord, underline that, is exalted. The right hand of the Lord, underline that, does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. In verse number 15, he says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of righteousness. Speaking of the homes, Dad, let me ask you. Moms, let me ask you, is your home a home of praise? Does the voice of praise ring out in your home, in my home? It should. Amen? It sure should. Go with me to Deuteronomy. Hold your finger there. Go back to Deuteronomy. Take your Bible. Use your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Power in my praise. It happens in the tents of the homes of the righteous. Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 to 23.
speaking of God's word, God talking to his people, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes, speaking of the word of God. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days may that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above earth. Verse 22. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I commanded you to do, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. What's Moses writing about here? He's saying, listen, this should start in the home. God's going to bless it when it has started in the home. God's going to use it in our children's lives. There's power in that, that it starts in the tents, our homes of the righteous. I ask you to underline those phrases, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The word valiantly, it's a military term. And obviously, whenever Scripture speaks of the right hand of God, it's speaking of power and authority, all right? So that's why I say there's power in my praise when we see how God works in our lives. And when it says the right hand of the Lord is valiantly, it's speaking of a military, the strength of an army. Think about that. God's right hand. God's right hand, just his right hand, is able to wipe out an entire army. Bring as many nuclear devices as you have to the game, amen? God can handle it. Why? Because God is power. He's powerful. I want to challenge our parents. Take time to sit down with your children and talk about, hey, what has God done? Let's talk about how powerful God is. And get into it. Well, let's see. God gave us a house. Well, how did God give you that? Well, because God gave us a job. Well, how did God give us that? Well, because God gives us opportunities. Because God gives us skills. Because God gives us know-how. Because God gives us energy. Because God gives us life. Because God, and just start going, look, and you'll begin to see, look what God has done. How can he do all those things? Folks, you got to remember. You got to keep in mind. None of you are promised the next 10 seconds, me included. It is God's power that keeps you alive. You don't sit there and crank your heart, do you? It just beats. You ain't got nothing to do with it. When God's ready for that thing to stop, why? Because his right hand is powerful. It works valiantly. God is a God of power. The great hymn writer, Isaac Watts. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. Think about that. We know how to blow them up. Do we know how to make them rise? Uh-uh. That spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. I sing the mighty power of God. Praise God for his power. Fifthly, his person in my praise. The person, he is the person of my praise. Verses 19 to 23, quickly. Open to me the gates of the righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Now, it's, you know, we're reading this, we're going, okay, he's talking about God. But look at verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Y'all help me out here. Who is that? That's Jesus. I'm imagining David's writing and he going, what? The stone which the builders rejected
He has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What was the Lord's doing? The virgin birth. We sang about it earlier. The cross, the burial, the resurrection. All of this was God's doing. He should be the person of our praise. And the gates of righteousness, the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter. What is that? Well, that's either the place of worship where we are here today, place of worship where you in your own personal quiet times with God, or finally, when we get to heaven. Whenever you come in the presence of King Jesus, the stone which the builders rejected, we don't have time to look at it, but in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 8, Peter speaks of this stone and how it is Jesus and how he is the chief cornerstone and how the people have rejected him. Oh, church, let me tell you something. Listen to me very carefully. We should never, ever, ever take time not to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. We should always be invoking the name of King Jesus. Why? He is our foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. Without it, your whole life crumbles. Just go into him and tell him, thank you. Who's the focus of your praise? People wearing t-shirts and hats and all those things with different names. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Some of them are, yeah. Person of our praise is, I don't know, Michael Jordan or Shaq Daddy or LeBron. Or Jimi Hendrix and Tupac. I'm talking Christians. Their favorite Hollywood star, their favorite band, their favorite team. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with some of those and not. That's between you and the Lord. But what I'm saying is this. Folks, we ought to be praising and making known the person of Jesus Christ. Darcy was pointing out with the kids the other night, they were playing basketball. They got new basketball uniforms. And I like that cross, Coach. That cross is right there on the back of their jersey. I like that. That tells people where we stand. We're not just Christian in name. We stand for the cross. I like that. Amen? That's good. Who does your life say you follow? Who do you talk about the most? You talk about Team Heaven? Or you talk about Team whatever it is here on this earth? Who do you set on the pedestal the most? Finally and lastly, he is to be our person of my praise. And finally, God is to be the proclamation of our praise. I like verse 24. You all know this verse number 24. You've heard it before. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Right? Amen? This is it. Save now, I pray you, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Again, reference to Jesus. Remember that? When he entered in Jerusalem, all right? That's what the people were saying, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The proclamation, I see two areas here. Well, first I see in verse number 24, I like verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Listen. This is God's day. Get down to business. Y'all with me? Amen? This is God's day. So it's time to do God's day, God's way, and doing God's thing. Amen? This is why on the Lord's day, especially the Lord's day, where ought people to be? In the house of God. Makes total sense. Well, what about the other 6 days of the week? Guess what? God made Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Did God not make all 7 days? Amen? Okay, just making sure you're awake. Just making sure you're still with me. This is God's day. Let's do this. Let's do this thing God's way. That's my proclamation. I'm going to do it God's way today. I'm going to allow my actions and my words to proclaim my praise of him by simply the way I live. But there's also proclamation through prayer here, I believe. Verse 25, David prays, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. In other words, God, I pray for salvation for people, and I pray for the prosperity of people. I pray for the gospel to prosper. I pray for people to come to Christ, which is prosperous. I pray for the work of God to move forward, which is prosperous. It's successful. That's what he's praying for. It's proclamation through prayer, but it's also proclamation through persistence. Look at verse 26 again. It begins at the house of God. Y'all see that? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the what? What does it say? House of the Lord. Go ahead, you can say it. It's all right. It's okay to speak at church. Go ahead. Where from? House of the Lord. It begins in the house of God. Our proclamation begins right here. I'm amazed. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I love y'all. But I don't know how we could be so quiet sometimes. Is it not exciting to be a believer in Jesus Christ? Is it not a blessing? I don't know. I'm sorry I make so many analogies to sports, but I just remember, you know, we're going in and we're about to play a big game or something, you know, and you get that pep talk from the coach, right? You get that, what's that commercial now? You don't, never quit, never quit, unless it's cable. I love that commercial. But he's just giving it to him, you know. I think of that as kind of us. We're sitting there, yeah, I could do that. I could praise God before my boss. Man, I could praise God through prayer. I could praise God through the way I live. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's go! You know, and then you're just charging out the door and saying, all right, it's time to live for King Jesus now. And you go get him, right? All right. Maybe not. I'll tell you what, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, how did the people respond? Woo, they went nuts. They went nuts. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Well, there's that guy named Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
No. Man, they were excited about it. They were ready to proclaim. He is the proclamation of our praise. That happens when we're in the house of God, and it starts with the house of God. Verse number 27, it continues when we follow his lighted path. He has given us light. He's given us light. Therefore, bind the sacrifices with cords to the horns of the altar. I love that picture there. Cords of the creature, binding them to the altar. In other words, Lord, don't let me crawl off this altar. Just keep me right here. I'm your sacrifice. We like crawling off the altar, don't we? Yeah, we do. Well, I got this going on over here. I guess I'll get off the altar now, and I'll go do what I want to do. And when I'm ready to serve the Lord again, well, I guess I'll get back over in the altar. Then you can tie me back down again, God. Now, that's not what Romans 12, 1 and 2 are about. Proclamation through persistence. Keeping me on the altar. Keeping me focused. Praising God. Church, we are in a season of praise and thanksgiving. Amen? We are blessed. What do you think about that, church? We are. You don't think you're blessed very much? Well, then we need to put you on a plane and drop you right down in the middle of the Sudan. You'll find out how good you got it. Amen? I'll die without my cell phone. Oh, you won't. We're blessed. Church, listen, it's a season of praise. God is our praise. Man, he's the person we ought to be praising. He's our provider we ought to be praising. He is everything. And we are the participants of that praise. Praise God this Thanksgiving season, will you? Teach your children to praise God. Thank him for what he's done. Live like we should live. Let our lives be that proclamation of praise. I'll tell you what. I imagine that whenever people were praising Jesus, and I knew Jesus knew the end game. I know that. But I imagine in my own spirit that whenever he came to Jerusalem and people were just cheering him and praising him, I can imagine a little smile coming to his face. Because in heaven, that's all they do. They just bring glory to God. So let's go ahead and get prepared for heaven now by preparing right now. Let us pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed as we come to pray. You know, the number one thing you and I can praise God about is our salvation. If you stood before God today and said, and God said, "Why should I allow you to come into heaven?" What would your response be? There's only one response. It can be, "I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I have believed in what he did on the cross. I've trusted in him and him alone. The only way I get into heaven, Father, is through Jesus." There is no other way. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't be baptized enough. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what your financial standing is. Doesn't matter what your cultural standing is, what your societal standing is. What matters is, have you asked Christ to come into your life and to forgive you and save you and put your trust in his work on the cross? Pastor, I'm not quite sure what that means and how to do that. Well, I can help you out right now. If you died today and you're not sure, you're saying, "No, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven." You can know for sure right now. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that we can know that we've believed in him and that we have eternal life. You can just call out to him right now and say, "Dear Jesus, I realize that you are God, and I know that you're God and that you're holy, and that I'm a sinner, and because I'm a sinner and you're holy, I cannot be in your presence. But I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you're the Son of God, and you're the only way to heaven. And Jesus, as best I know how, will you come into my life and save me? Forgive me. I give my life over to you. I confess and repent of my sins, and I cling to you." Would you call upon him today? That is the first step of praise. Believers, I wonder if God did have a scale of our gripes and complaints versus our thanksgiving and our praise. I wonder which would outweigh the other. Father, forgive us. Cause us to be more thankful. Thankful for your presence. Thankful for your protection, your power. Thankful, Lord, that we're able to participate in praise to you, the great God of everything. Bless during this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.